Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're doing a first ever thing for Experience Points. I don't think in the history of Experience Points we ever really done a remote session. But Red Bear, you're currently in Keesler, right?
Yeah, I'm at Keesler Air Force Base.
So he is, we're hanging out.
We're hanging out. It's Google.
So, deal with the slightly diminished quality of our microphones, but you know what? We're gonna get through with it. It's gonna be good.
I don't have a $1,000 microphone.
We are not at KSLU, but that's all right. We're gonna get through it nonetheless. So we had a pretty eventful week as a country, right, Red Bear? I mean, things were
uneventful depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean,
they shut down, right?
The government shut down. And what that means is that some things that the federal government pays for, they aren't getting paid for anymore. Like the museums are shutting down, and parks and recreation.
Mount Rushmore is closed.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore is closed. A few things have just sort of shut down. But the good thing that it did not affect is video games. The internet's still running fine.
Yep. I wonder if the NSA is still listening to us right now.
I don't know. Is the NSA still at work?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Are they closed?
They don't even have to mine the data. Like, we're already on a digital medium at this point, so
yeah,
that's good. Big news in my neck of the woods, Grand Theft Auto Online. I mean,
I haven't had a chance. I tried once and just got, server not working. Too bad,
Yeah, it was like that since we recorded last week, since we did the show last week, to pretty much yesterday. I was fighting with it back and forth, and to compound all of that, they released a title update. Rockstar North released a title update to get it to 1.0.15 or something like that. Anyway, after the title update, things were supposed to be sort of fixed, but then the cloud server started going down, and they started, you know, trying to fix those problems, still. And I got to hand it to them, way better than other shops at handling this fire. I remember, and I'm sure you remember Maxis and EA back when SimCity was released.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible, and that's not even an online game. Like, this is a fully online portion of the game that is now, for the most part, up and running. Again, it's still got some growing room to go through. It still has a lot of, I guess, rockiness to it, but I played today for a couple hours, and I played yesterday for a few hours, and I've got to say...
Are you the gangsterest of the gangsters?
No. I'm more of a legal... You know, have you heard anything about Grand Theft Auto Online except for like the... Okay, so I'll just go through it for people that haven't heard.
You knew that, Matt.
You've got GTA 5. Online is supposed to happen a few months before GTA 5. So all the storyline and events and everything in GTA 5, they haven't happened yet. But you can still meet some people. You can meet Lamar. You can meet Simeon. You can meet just a few people in the actual GTA world, which is really cool. You know them before Franklin and Trevor and Michael were involved.
Oh, Franklin.
The other really cool thing is that you have this sort of like heritage thing. You've got this... your mom's heritage and your dad's heritage. So you pick your grandmother on your mom's side and your grandmother on your dad's side, and then your grandfather on both sides.
What?
And that gives you your mom and your dad, who they look like. And then from that, that determines like what you look like. Interestingly,
they just didn't want to build a character builder, so they just randomized it.
Well, you do pick your characters, but you pick your parents by picking your grandparents. So you pick your four grandparents. That chooses your parents, and then that chooses you, and you
then you have to write an essay on your family history before it even lets you play. That's like fifth grade all over again.
I've got to say, it is a little awkward. It's a little kind of like, I don't know, bulky to deal around with, because there's these sliders, and when you move the sliders, it's like resemblance. For a while, it's like, even though my gender is a man, I can resemble a lady or a man, and it just depends on, you know, how much time you want to spend with it. But interesting topic, or interesting fact, if for anyone that has a social club login for Rockstar Social Club and also owns Red Dead Redemption, you actually get Marston as a special dad. Like, it'll come up, you hit like triangle if it's on PS3.
Nice.
You hit triangle and it's like, it's the main guy from Red Dead Redemption as your dad. Like, you don't even randomize it anymore. It's like triangle, that's him. So that's pretty cool. After that, you pick some attributes, but your attributes are picked via skill point allocation. And the skill points are half hour increments of a day in that you do something. So you may spend like five or 5 or 6 hours sleeping. I don't know, maybe like 3 hours partying, 2.5 hours doing legal work, 8 hours doing
This goes up to what you look like. So if you party a lot, you're going to be more rough than if you do legal stuff.
Right, right. And initially, this is initially what you look like. Now you can, the cool thing about GTA Online is that you go in, you can, you know, dress however you want. You can buy all the stuff. You can buy cars. You can buy property. You can buy, you know, like boats and planes. You could do pretty much, and again, you can't do everything you can do in Grand Theft Auto 5, but within reason, you could do almost everything. You could still, you know, rob, like you can rob stores. There's a couple different types of missions. There's like the deathmatch style missions. There's team deathmatch, which is called, I don't know, line in the sand or something. Or line of sight. I can't remember what it's actually called. It's a team deathmatch. There's this idea of crew. So you have a crew.
So that's your guild.
Sort of, yeah, but you can be in multiple crews. Like you can roll with the Ballers, you can roll with the Crips and the Bloods. You got
you better watch yourself.
I know. Hopefully they don't listen to the show. Started a crew. I started a crew called the Breakpoints, and now we're getting people in the crew. You can roll with the crew, you can go and do jobs with the crew, you can do team deathmatch with the crew. You and a bunch of like, I guess, self-aligned crews can go and do something crazy as a crew, as a set of crews. I mean, Tom Cruise. It's really awesome. I'm happy to see that it's working.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, bad jokes are bad.
I tried.
That's okay. Yeah, so that's what I've been mostly doing. I did pick up Infamous a little bit more. So again, expect an Infamous and definitely a GTA 5 review coming up on the website fairly soon.
Yeah, like I said, my problem with Infamous is that I keep getting motion sick for some reason.
We're going to have to do a case study on that. Yeah,
we need to do some science on this and figure out why I'm motion sick.
If anyone would want to write in to the show at show@experiencepoints or show@expoints2ps.com and tell us exactly what you think Red Bear's problem is with Infamous. Maybe you don't want like tele-electric powers, like that's your problem. You're adverse.
I really don't want that. My brain can't handle it.
Well, I mean, but you're playing Infamous, or not Infamous, you're playing Injustice.
Yeah, Injustice.
And maybe
I just want to be an actual superhero.
Well, we all want to be actual superheroes, yeah. But until they make radiation therapy for superpowers legal, I'm not even sure it's illegal right now. I don't even know if it's a thing. But
I'm not going to irradiate you, Matt, to see if you turn into a superhero. No.
Speaking of superheroes, let's go ahead and cut to a song. This is No One Likes Superman Anymore by I Fight Dragons. I actually got a little cool thing to talk about after that about I Fight Dragons. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was I Fight Dragons with No One Likes Superman Anymore, which is totally untrue. Like, the newest Superman movie.
I love Superman.
Well, like, did you like I know you didn't like the remake, like Superman Returns, but the new one, The Man of Steel.
Okay, the new one, the first intro sequence is the best thing ever, where they're still on Krypton. As soon as you leave Krypton, the movie goes downhill.
Well, yeah, because they're no longer on Super Mega Space World.
Yeah, and I would love to see an entire movie leading up on Krypton, and it ends with Superman leaving Krypton, and that's like the end of the movie. That would be a good movie to make.
But Superman's still a baby at that point.
Yeah, this would be the story of his father and how he gets off the planet instead of squishing it into 15 minutes.
So you want to see Russell Crowe a lot then, is that what you're saying?
That's clearly what it is, yes.
Okay, well no, I can respect that.
They could make this a trilogy, like the second movie he lands and he's starting to grow up, and the third movie he's an adult and maybe he faces Bizarro or Doomsday.
I'd be okay.
But that's just me.
Who is the, what was the villain? Anyway, before we get off topic. So I Fight Dragons, right? They did Project Atma. I just wanted to mention that I got the have you ever heard of a flexi disc? You know what a flexi disc is?
I heard it because of their Kickstarter, but what is a flexi disc?
So in the 70s, way back in the day, or 70s and 80s, they used to have magazines instead of digital online webzines. So you'd get a magazine, and the problem was artists needed to get their stuff out there. They needed to be able to get their information to these people, like the music. So maybe like one single. And in the late 80s and early 90s, this was accomplished with cassette tapes where it was only two songs on the cassette tape. Then it was accomplished by CDs where there was like one or two songs on the CD, as well as like little, they had these little clip tracks or whatever that...
They were
big in the early 90s for they were like tiny little MP3, you know, USB things with a custom player. They only had like one song. They were just for kids. Now
I thought that was gonna be the next big thing.
Well, they were in a way MP3 players.
Ooh, they had mini discs. Those were cool.
Right. Yeah. No. And those look cool. They were even in the Matrix.
Yeah.
And then they got full on digital. But back in the 70s,
full frontal digital.
Before they had cassettes, or before cassettes were really popular, and when vinyl was really popular, the idea of the FlexiDisc came about. And what it essentially is this really thin vinyl record that is printed on, like, cardstock, like, bendable, bendable, enough bend into it to put it inside of a magazine and let them...
And it would go, like, on a record player?
Right, yeah, it's this little square. What you do is it had perforated edges. You would just perforate it out and put it on the record player and flatten it down, and it would play. And it wasn't super great quality. I mean, it was still very low quality, but you had this distributable... No one would buy a FlexiDisc back in the day because you could get them in...
Like a sample, right?
Right, yeah, it was just a sample. It was supposed to let you hear it, and you'd be like, man, I really like that. I think I'm going to go buy the album. And that was awesome. That was awesome. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to, like, fold or bend a record, but it ends poorly.
Vinyls are not meant to be bent.
Exactly, but FlexiDiscs more or less were. For I Fight Dragons Project Atma album release, they went ahead and they put in a FlexiDisc with the Voltron-style update. So I got that in yesterday. I got it in the mail, and it was bent, of course. But I took it out, and I put it on my record player, playing it. It didn't sound too great because I think the weight of the record or the weight of the needle is off. Overall, I'm pretty happy about it. They all signed it. So I just wanted to throw it out there. Really love I Fight Dragons for doing that stuff. And if you...
I've not listened to a FlexiDisc.
Yeah, we'll have to come over. You'll have to come over and listen to it. On the news of music acts in and around and with nerddom, have you ever heard of They Might Be Giants?
I have heard of them.
Or maybe Power Glove. I think we played some Power Glove. Maybe the Proto Man. Maybe some MC Lars. MC Frontalot. Moon Hoon. Green Jelly.
P-Lander Z.
Null Sleep. Yep. Soliloquist. Wow. Nerf Herder.
Man, that's a lot of good guys.
The 1-Ups. Schaefer. The Dark Lord. They're all, along with Random Encounter and
what's happening?
10 or 20 more. They are all going to be in Orlando, Florida, October 18th, 19th, and 20th at the East Coast, as far as I'm concerned, the East Coast's biggest and only nerd event, Nerdapalooza. So if you can, go to the Facebook, or just go to nerdapalooza.org and check out all the stuff. They have vendors, they've got indie games, they've got musicians and visual arts. They're really fantastic in what they do, and used to be headed up by a guy named Hex, John Carter, but now it's taken over by a whole team. There's like a consortium for Nerdapalooza now. I went a couple years back, I think 2 years back, and I gotta say, it was unlike anything I've ever seen before. It was a bunch of nerds, it smelled like a bunch of nerds.
You've never seen that before, really, Matt, a bunch of nerds.
I mean, there were probably like 300 nerds there. There were free cans of energy drinks. Saw I Fight Dragons and Proto Men.
With more celebrities.
Slugo's actually coming up. We don't have a date ironed out, but for people that don't know,
Slugo's happening. Slugo, it's usually around drop day, so be looking for it.
Yeah, drop date as I think in another month. It's about a month away or half a month away. Slugo, for those that don't know, is a LAN party nearly all night, so nearly 24 hours. I think it's like 19 hours, actually, is what the... 19 hours in total. It's a $5 entry fee, but you bring your own computer. There are going to be consoles there. We've usually got a live DJ and pretty cool stuff. It's a fundraiser for the Southeastern Louisiana University's chapter of the Association for Computing Machinery, or the ACM. So definitely... mark that on your calendars if and when we ever tell you to. But Nerdapalooza, definitely. You want to go to Nerdapalooza. If we could just get to Florida. That is the problem. So moving right along, Red Bear, you're a learned individual, you'd say, right?
I like to imagine I'm a learned individual.
Well, I've got a riddle for you. I've got a big question.
Oh my gosh, does, Mr. Riddler?
What does riddle me this? What does Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, Hawks, End War, Red Storm, The Division, Splinter Cell, Sum of All Fears, what do these games have in common?
They're all really fun.
They're all really well. I don't know. The early Ghost, the early Rainbow Six games were a little.
Splinter Cell's fun.
Splinter Cell is fun.
They have guns.
I would venture a guess to say, like, even though it was cross-platform, I think a lot of really good padding to get an old Xbox is to play Halo and Splinter Cell.
Definitely.
Even though, because I think the original Xbox, not to be confused with the Xbox One, I want to say it had better graphics than the PS2 on some games, just because of the way the architecture was laid out. But
Well, I know where you're going with this. They all had Tom Clancy in common.
Yeah, who was Tom Clancy?
Tom Clancy was an American author who wrote a lot about military-type things, espionage, a lot of things about the aftermath of the Cold War, and all those games you mentioned were all based on his writings.
Sweet. So why are we bringing him up?
Because he has recently passed away on October the 1st of this year.
That's 9 days ago or 8 days ago.
Yeah.
So kind of sad. No more Splinters. No more. Now, okay, so I'm not sure, but was Splinter Cell based off of a book? I don't read.
you should really start reading.
Well, no, I guess what I'm saying is he didn't create Splinter Cell. So Splinter Cell is about Sam Fisher. We all know Sam Fisher, more or less. And I guess what I was asking was, these weren't all books that he wrote.
No, but the Splinter Cell series spawned some books written under the pseudonym David Michaels.
Oh, okay, so these were all more or less. I mean, he is responsible.
Yeah, he was assuming the story writing and such like that.
Okay.
The game.
Fun fact: we're almost to the anniversary of the original Splinter Cell. We're at it came out November 17th, so we're only a little bit away from that. And if you'd like to play these again, you know, and you don't want to get them for a computer, I think
why PS3, not? I don't know.
Well, I think the PS3 had an HD version of it.
HD remix.
It recently came out for Splinter Cell for the PS3. So, that'd be cool if you wanted to go ahead and look that up. Speaking of games, at Experience Point, we are trying our best to get you games, to make it so that you can play games and you don't have to pay a nickel for them. And in lieu of that, we have games to give away. We just need people to go to the website, exppoints.com, and there will be a blog post. It will say something like, sign up for free games. You can go to the search, you can go to the blog, it will be available somewhere. If it isn't there, go to the Facebook, and you will see a question that we'll have. We'll probably have one question of the week starting not this week, but next week maybe. You answer that question, and if we like your answer enough and you haven't won before, we will give you a game or a set of games. And, I mean, there are a ton of games that you could win. We have quite a few games in our library. We have some, I think, Bastion, Limbo, Lone Survivor, Psychonauts, which was by Double Fine Studios, Super Meat Boy, Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery. We've got Dead Space 1, as well as Battlefield 3, in preparation for Battlefield 4, Battlefield 3, Crysis 2, Medal of Honor, Mirror's Edge, Command & Conquer, Red Alert. We've got a ton of games that we are just going to try. Lost Planet 1 and 2.
So many games,
including my personal favorites, Supreme Commander Forged Alliance. Red Faction Armageddon isn't my favorite, but we have it. So, I mean, we have a ton of games. And
just
they can be
for you.
They can be yours. We can't stress it enough. They can be yours. You just need to get in touch with us. That's all you need to do. Go to the website, look for the thing. Anytime we say jump, I want you to reply with a comment that asks how high, or in response to how high, you say how high you can jump. It needs to be an interaction. We are going to go ahead and throw out another song. This is Light Up the Night by the Proto Men. They are playing at Nerdapalooza October 18th, 19th, and 20th in Orlando. So if you like them, you should definitely go see them. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Light Up the Night by the Proto Men. They're going to be at Nerdapalooza, so please check them out if you can make it to Orlando, Florida, October 18th through the 20th. Try and do so. I believe it's $70 for the entire weekend, and that's really an awesome price.
It.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're really, really great. I was reading an article earlier. We had talked about Grand Theft Auto, I read articles. I don't read.
It's not whole books. That's way too many words.
Books are harder. Books require
words.
Well, books require an attention span, and I think that's the problem. Let's go ahead and knock out some new releases of the week. It's this week. Anything that came out this week, we're gonna knock those out real quick, and then we're gonna talk about the article I read. Pokemon X and Pokemon Y are coming out in a couple days. They are the new Pokemon games. It's not like the typical top-down. It's like the Pokemon games that should have, whenever they made the transition from the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance to the DS and the 3DS, this is what everyone was kind of hoping to have. You've got like a third-person perspective, and you know, the graphics are much more richer. I'm curious as to why they keep releasing like multiple versions of the same game.
I don't know.
It seems like it's just a money thing, but I don't know, like, why release X and Y, and white and black, and crystal black and onyx white, and things like that? Like, why release two at the same time? But whatever, nevertheless.
Because of money, and that's what they've always done.
Yeah. Beyond Two Souls, which is came out yesterday. This is Ellen Page playing Jodie Holmes with this woman with supernatural powers that has a psychic link to somebody who's invisible, who I think is Willem Dafoe. I think that's actually the invisible person. So this is looking pretty awesome.
Nice.
It's from the guys that made Heavy Rain. And also,
I was excited about, but not so much after it came out.
Well, it wasn't a game. It was a drama. And I think that's what people really didn't expect it to be. They wanted to play.
Yeah,
they
play things.
Right. So like that's what Grand Theft Auto is versus, you know, Heavy Rain, which is just like script. You just have to follow the script. It's the definition of linear. I think it's just very pretty linear. We got F1 2013 for PC came out yesterday. F1 Racing, of course. Cool. Disgaea D2, A Brighter Darkness, which is kind of an oxymoron. Strategy RPG for Disgaea that came out yesterday on the 8th. We've got Capcom Essentials, which is a kind of a compilation. Came out for PS3 and Xbox yesterday, as well as Just Dance 2014, as if you needed
just
more
Dance.
Just Dance. As long as you needed more Just Dance, you got it.
I like to move it.
And then
Dancing Bear.
There will be a video of you sometime. I don't know when, but you will be intoxicated and you will not know.
Well, you know what's gonna happen. I think there's videos of me dancing already.
Oh wow. And then to combat Just Dance, there's Let's Sing and Dance from the arcade.
That is way too many skills.
Yeah,
sing or dance.
Well, you sing, you dance, and you have to somehow breathe at the same time. So yeah, this is a rhythm game in competition with Just Dance, but that came out today actually from, I'm not sure who makes it, but it's on the arcade. So okay, the article I read, it was regarding Grand Theft Auto 5. It seems everything is sort of regarding Grand Theft Auto 5.
It's kind of a big deal, Matt.
It is a big deal.
Everyone's a little into Grand Theft Auto.
It definitely, I'll say this, I like Grand Theft Auto, and it is one of the best games I ever played, but I agree with this article in which the title of the article, it's on Kotaku. It says, "Why Grand Theft Auto 5 had me begging for unforgiveness." The article essentially says that this game is pretty forgiving. Like a guy runs out in the street, Trevor runs out in the street and gets smacked by a semi truck. And he just like falls down and gets back up. And I feel like the reason, and maybe some people would disagree, some super simulation people, but the reason we play video games is because if we did half the stuff we do in a game in real life, we'd be dead or we'd be in prison.
Well, yeah, I can agree with you there. But there's a trend that I don't like happening.
What is that?
Games are getting more and more easy to play, even on the harder modes.
I noticed that in like World of Warcraft, like
I can't play WoW anymore. There's no sense of achievement to me.
In World of Warcraft, like vanilla World of Warcraft, you know, first gen.
I remember seeing a guy with a mount, and that was fairly impressive at release.
Right, because like it took
that
a lot of time.
Some time.
It took a lot of time and a lot of money, but I guess the new Deus Ex is sort of like that too, compared to the old Deus Ex.
yeah.
You know, so
I mean, I get there's a difference in storytelling and then like hardcore gameplay, but I feel like the hardcore gameplay is just going away, especially from the 90s.
I can't remember what game it was. There was a game that whenever you, and it was, I guess Metal Gear Solid is sort of like that. Metal Gear Solid's always been as realistic as it could be by still being facetious, you know, in what it was and what it is.
Yeah.
You would have a guy in your sights, you know, you're staring him down, and he goes to move, and you shoot him in the hand. He can't use that hand anymore. And that's just how the game worked. You shoot him in the leg, now he is limping. You shoot him in the other leg, now he is crawling. And I feel like that should be, once that precedent's been set, I feel like everyone should follow that winning formula of, you know, this is a good game. People like this. Let's go ahead and, you know, do that.
And I don't mind a challenge. I want a challenging game. I want to lose.
Right, and I don't want an impossible game.
There's a difference between challenging and just being stupid hard.
Right.
There's level design there for that, but
I mean,
I feel games are too easy and everyone shouldn't get to win.
I agree. I remember, what game did I play? I think it was like a Zelda game. It was one of the newer Zelda games, and it gave me a pretty good challenge, I felt. It didn't spell things out. It still allowed you to, like, look around and do stuff. I want to say maybe it was, not Twilight Princess, whatever one was before that, but it was really, really good, I felt. But I agree with you and with this guy. Games are easier. I don't know. We need to put a stop to it, America. We need to put a stop to it.
Okay.
Hopefully, by having more people play video games, I know it sounds weird, but making video games more accessible, hopefully we'll be able to further that initiative.
I think that's part of the problem. Games are so much more accessible to a wider range of people. And these studios don't want people to get frustrated and quit not buy their games anymore, so they just make them so everyone can win.
I believe there are always going to be those elitist people that they love their video games, they love the video games that they've always been playing, they will continue to play. Shadow of the Colossus was like that. I felt that it was a beautiful game.
That was a great game.
It gave you very few pieces of functionality to mess with. And because it was so just open for you to do whatever, you know, you could explore. And there wasn't an inventory. There wasn't a quest log. There wasn't this or that. There was a sword. There was the sun. There was a horse. And
you got to go kill these, you know, giant monsters. That's about
it. It was a game that whenever you downed one of the Colossus, you felt accomplished. Colossi, you felt accomplished.
Yeah, that was not an easy task.
Especially, like, the flying ones or the bigger ones that are shaking you off all the time. Like, the first one, you're like, you felt sad more than anything because that thing was just, you know, it wasn't doing anything to anybody. But then...
It's just chilling.
Yeah, it's just chilling. You know what? There are some parts in games where whenever I do something, I try to anticipate the outcome. Because I think that's what we always try to do as people. We try to anticipate outcomes. And then we do something to try and get the outcome we want. But whenever the game presents you with, like, a bad option and then also another bad option, I don't know, I feel like there's a little bit of, like, gamer's remorse whenever you...
I want to do this!
Right, like, you have to, like, there's a torture scene in Grand Theft Auto V. It is in no way an easy scene. Like, I feel like if you're just doing it to get past the mission, then you're not really caring about it. But if you really think about what you're doing to... Let's just, for all intents and purposes, say another person. Yeah, okay, another virtual person in a game that's also completely fake. But, you know, I don't believe games make people go on shooting rampages. That's not what I'm saying.
No, that's ridiculous. That's just like, there's a game, Prey, spoilers, but you're searching for your girlfriend this whole time, and you find her. She's kind of like this mutiny type thing, and you end up defeating, like, this mutant half of her, but then she's stuck in it, and you have to kill her.
Right.
And, like,
there's no way around it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, there should be a quit button, like an I quit button. Like, nope, I don't want to do it. Prey wasn't a bad game.
That was a very underrated game, in my opinion.
They did some really cool stuff, like gravity bending. I believe gravity bending was, like, the big thing that it did sort of first.
Yeah, that was their biggest thing.
That's available on, I believe, Steam, so if you'd like to play that. And I believe they're coming out with Prey 2.
I heard that.
It's in the works. I don't know. So is Half-Life 3, apparently.
Well, Duke Nukem actually came out, so...
Yeah, we had to wait 11 years, and it was crap.
Yeah, it was terrible. But
some people would argue that Duke Nukem was exactly what it needed to be. Like, it was a good game. And I bought it, and I played it, and I beat it. And it wasn't so bad, but it was... I would have expected that tongue-in-cheek type of humor from, like, Serious Sam, which has always continued to be, like, a Duke Nukem clone that's just as ridiculous.
Right. You didn't get as much.
Right. I don't know. While we're in the Valve side of things...
Back to Valve.
We talked last week about the Steam OS the Steam Machine and the Steam Controller.
How excited we all are.
They, we're really excited. I'm not so excited about the controller, but we already discussed that.
I'm excited about the controller.
We discussed the Steam box, the Steam machine, but we didn't have any hard, like, specs, more or less, to throw at you, but we do this time. Take it away, Bear. What did Valve say?
Oh, all right, well, there's going to be, what, 3 machines, I believe.
Yeah, and we don't know. There are 300 prototype machines going out to 300 betas. We don't know if it's going to be 100, 100, 100.
Right, we're not sure on that. But the GPU choices they're using are the NVIDIA Titan, which is...
That's $1,000 by itself.
Ridiculous card.
It's a card, like, if you had to buy one card right now that would not be future, like... Would be somewhat future-proof for a year. The Titan will probably...
For 3.
Yeah, the Titan's a good bet, but it's $1,000 by itself.
That's more than any console that's out currently. And then they stepped down to the GTX 780, which is the high end of the 7 series.
Still
and
very, very good.
Oh, so great. All these GPUs are great. Yeah. There's a 760.
I think the 780 is a $500 or $600 processor, or a $700 video card.
Somewhere around there. Yep. Then you have the GTX 760, and low end is the 660.
And that's not really that bad for a low end. I actually, in my computer right now, I have a 760, and it runs everything at full.
Yeah, so nice.
And the 660 is just the 600 version of that, a 600 6th-gen version of it, which is still good. What about CPU?
CPU-wise, they went Intel, so can you guess the 3 processors, Matt?
3, 5, and 7?
Ah, 3, 5, and 7.
Why don't we have an i4 or an i6?
Because that's crazy.
We use prime numbers now, is that it?
Yeah, or at least not even numbers. Odd numbers is where it's at, dude.
So we're going to have an i9?
Yeah, probably.
I like the i9. That sounds pretty snazzy.
That sounds good. The RAM, the choices are 16 gigs of DDR3, 1600. And then they're saying 3 gigs of DDR5 for the GPU. So I'm guessing that means these GPUs aren't just the cards you buy from, like, Newegg.
No, they're not going to be the cards, but the cards are going to have their own RAM.
Processors. Everything's probably going to be built onto one main board is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is, you know, whatever. It's a console is what it is. So.
Right.
You can gripe. You might not be able to upgrade these in the future, but it's a console.
Yeah,
and that would also be a way to lower these prices, like that NVIDIA Titan $1,000 GPU. If you just get the GPU and not all the silicon and engineering on that lowers the price.
And you can combine things like heat sinks and fans. You can leverage some of that shared power.
So that's probably what they're doing.
Yeah, and no, then, if I'd expect.
And then as far as storage, you got a terabyte drive with an 8 gig hybrid SSHD attached.
So this is a really cool little thing. It's a terabyte of regular spinning disk storage, but then there's 8 gigs of like cache that is an SSD that's like flash memory that'll hold boot drive stuff and commonly accessed stuff. So it's fast, but it's also big, which is kind of the problem with SSDs is that if you want fast, you can't always get big.
No, well, not without money.
Right, not without a lot of money.
And then power and all this is a 450-watt power supply at 80 plus gold certification.
So this brings up a good point. You had just said it. You kind of led me into it. For the NVIDIA Titan, I want to say the minimum power supply for the card is like a 600 watt power supply.
650, dude.
Right. It's
this thing is a beast.
I know the 760 minimum is 450, and that's not counting the CPU and the RAM and the hard drive and all that other stuff. So they have to be leveraging some of the onboard RAM, that 3 gigs onboard RAM. They have to be leveraging some of the fan and cooling in order to deliver those chipsets with that small of a power supply.
Otherwise, small of a power draw. I mean, my gaming PC, I'm pulling a 1,000-watt power supply on that.
Right. So there are some times when you actually use it, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, once those hard drives start spinning up and, you know, video cards start drawing power...
Right.
That shoots up fast.
Yep.
So this is impressive that they're powering us all with 450 watts.
So size-wise, this is in between the Xbox Slim and PS3 Slim. It's all about the same size in that area. I think it's 12 by 12.5 by 2.9.
Yeah, about that.
So, I mean, they're all about the same sizes now. But in this article that we're reading, where we're getting this information, it gives us the high and the mid and the low range for how much these things would cost.
If you built them as a PC.
Right. If you put all these parts in there separately. Now, we had said that the Titan was $1,000 by itself, and that's an NVIDIA Titan. Hopefully it's like an EVGA Titan, but
I'm thinking that's not really gonna matter. It's probably gonna be direct from NVIDIA.
It would have to be.
After these,
I don't think anybody's gonna want. Valve isn't gonna want to brand their Steam machine as like an EVGA machine or. Me too. But for the high end, which is the Titan and the i7, $1,850. That is a bad machine.
That machine will last you forever.
And
it'll be about 5 years in computer land.
Yeah, but that's a long time.
Yeah, that's like 5,000 years in computer time.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many games, especially now, new games are coming out left and right. You know what? I built a computer. My current gen computer is actually holding up very well to Battlefield, say, 4, Crysis 3, the newer games, Metro 2033. Those on max settings. Metro 23, not so much, because it is a really intense game. But they, you know, it's still holding out, and I constantly kind of update that thing. But I've got another 2 years out of it, and then I'll just buy a whole new one, build a whole new one. For the mid-range option with the 780 and the i5, more like $1,350, so you drop $500 just by dropping the card a little bit, which is what we sort of said. Yeah. If it's got everything else
in
there.
We got the card and the CPU, but it's mostly the price and the card coming out.
Right.
It's probably about $100 coming off the CPU.
Right.
And the rest is all that card.
But we said the 780 is about a $600 card anyway, so a $400 drop from a Titan to a 780. That's understandable, and then a $100 drop from a i7 to an i5, that makes sense, thus $1,350. And then the lowest end, and all of these machines are really good machines, so when we say low end, we don't mean it's junk. We mean that it's just the lowest.
It'll do more than check your email.
Right. It's a bad machine. So this is with a 660 and the i3. Not that I'm a fan of the i3, but for what it is.
This is actually basically the computer I built my nephew last year.
What does he do? Play Minecraft and play some other games?
He plays Minecraft, Guild Wars 2, all
lots
that.
Lots of Minecraft. That machine, the lower machine, could be $880, almost $900. That's conservative. That's not bad either for a gaming machine, you know, getting really good performance out of a gaming machine, $900, that's not bad.
But then, remember, this is also buying these components as a consumer separately.
Right. You know, when they mass-produce these things,
mass-ordering these GPUs and such, these prices are not going to be the final price for the Steam machines.
Right.
I'm going to call it as being way under these prices.
Yeah, they would have to. I think if for the highest end, for the best of the best of the best, if they could get it in that form factor,
$1,000.
If they could get that at a $1,000 price point, you know what? I would even say $850. That is the magical number. Or if they could show it and show what it can do, and it can do 4K resolution gaming with all of those components. If they can do that and have USB storage and maybe even HDMI pass through, much like the Xbox One, if they could do some of that for $850 to $1,000, I think they will have so much business. They're already going to have it now, but so much more business.
Oh, I 100% agree.
It says something. You know, all of these beta prototypes, they're going to be free. So.
Yeah, well, the 300 of them.
Right, yeah, there's 300 of them. You know, it's not going to be – they're not expecting people that want to participate in this to buy them, you know, in order to, you know, actually use them. So that's something to note. So getting off of the games and the Steam machines, Steve Jobs.
He's not alive.
He is dead. He was one of the founders of Apple Computers, and they made the Macintosh, they made the all the stuff, the iPods, the iPhones, iPads.
It starts with an I.
Everything that starts with an I, yeah. A while back, somebody created a Steve Jobs action figure, like an old man Jobs figure. It was him, you know, his keynote sweater, everything. Now, for the second anniversary of his death, more or less.
Is this what we're doing?
When Ashton Kutcher, this is what we're doing with our time. Government shuts down, and
we make Steve Jobs dolls.
And we make Steve Jobs action figures. There's the Steve Jobs second anniversary tribute action figure. So that's out there. There will be an image in the show notes on the website. Again, we're going to upload this to the website, but. In the show notes for the website, there will be an image of this doll. And you know what? I might even take it and put it next to an image of Ashton Kutcher playing Steve Jobs to kind of – and I might even overlay it. I don't know. I'll do some Photoshop magic.
This thing is creepy. I'm sorry.
It's really good. You know what? The artist really outdid themselves on this.
Creepy.
It is rather unnerving, though, just, you know, to give you a little bit of heads up. We're going to go ahead and play a song right now, and then we're going to come back, say a little bit, and then we're out. This is Endless Fantasy by Anamanaguchi. This is off of their new album, Endless Fantasy. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, and I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Endless Fantasy by Anna Monoguchi off of their Endless Fantasy album. We're about wrapped up over here, but we're gonna throw a few things your way. Now, we've talked big about the Nexus 7.
Oh, still on this Nexus 7.
I believe they have a Nexus 4 that is a phone.
It is all sold out. You missed it, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine, because they're about to release a Nexus 5. And
that's probably why the Nexus 4 is going forever.
The 5, of course, refers to the screen size. Is that correct?
This time, yes.
Yes, it is. The Nexus 7 has a 7-inch screen.
Yeah, the Nexus 7 does. I believe the original Nexus 4, I think there was another reason it was called 4. It wasn't really the screen size.
I see.
But I don't know.
We have found...
There's a reason. Use the internet to find out.
One of the many blogs and many update sites we venture to has released the fact that they found a service manual. A complete service manual. This is like an intense manual. Technical. Really technical.
There's flow charts and like circuit diagrams. And.
But it's about the Nexus 5.
Crazy.
And it actually includes some of the specs. Bear, what are those specs?
Oh, the specs. Well, it's going to have 32 gigs of internal storage. It's going to work LTE, so we're all happy about that. It's going to have a Snapdragon 800 processor running 2 gigs of RAM and NFC communication.
What is the what is that Snapdragon running at? Is that at...
That's at 2.3 gigahertz.
Okay, that's not bad.
Assuming throttled up. Assuming it's going to throttle down so you don't waste your battery. Which is 2300 mini amp battery.
Nice. Does it have any extra storage, like a micro SD or anything?
I believe it probably has a micro SD or a slim port or something. They're saying it's going to list with Bluetooth 3.0.
Okay, nice.
It's going to have an IPS and 80p screen, so that's good. A 1.3 megapixel camera on the front.
Oh, like a 1.3?
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm sorry. That's 1.3 front-facing and an 8 megapixel rear-facing. So there you go.
So it's looking like a lot of the Nexus 7 stuff just squished down, more memory, more everything.
Yeah, shove a phone in there.
Well, good. On additional hardware news, again, we're trying to be as little hardware as possible because we killed hardware a couple shows.
But we love hardware.
We do love some hardware, and I'm going to talk a little bit about hardware right now. DualShock 4 for PS4 will be compatible with Windows for basic functions. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, but thanks to the...
What does that mean?
Thanks to the DirectX input API on Windows, it means that Xbox One controllers are going to be fine, so Xbox controllers are going to be good.
Right.
Now DualShock 4 is out of the box. We'll have basic functionality. But additional things like Motion Joy or Joy to Key, those will still be able to, you know, kind of get you where you need to go. So that's pretty cool. You can read about what we've been up to on the website, exppoints.com. 2 P's. Can't stress it enough. Follow it. Subscribe to it. You can like it. You can go ahead and get updates for every time we post something or every time something gets posted about a specific blog post. You can listen to the past or previous shows. You can see what we're talking about for next show if we post it up there. And as always, you can in fact get involved and win some games. That's what we're doing now. We're trying to give some games away, and we'll probably be giving away Lost Planet.
Ask for them.
Yep, you just got to say you want games. And comment and respond on specific posts, and we will do our best to get you games. We're going to go ahead, and we're going to leave on 2 songs tonight. It's a twofer.
Two for one!
This is Daniel Tidwell with The Moon. It's from the DuckTales remake. It's not in the game. It's his own remix from his Versus video game album. And then it's going to be Epic Rap Battle Nerds versus Geeks by Rhett and Link. Thank you for being with us. Please come up next time. Tune in next time. Next week, Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 from KSLU. This has been Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.